Well, please be seated. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, we will come up to pray together. Let's study to be connected to the source. Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. The book of Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. So we know that during this time, the king saw Nehemiah. He was sad and he was sorrow in heart. So the king asked him, "What do you request?" So Nehemiah, because he was connected to the source, he said he prayed to the Father in heaven. So that's just like nowadays for you and I. God, he's an almighty God. If we are connected to him, everything we request will be given to us. Because everything we request be according to his will. Just like here in chapter 2, verse 8. On the end of verse 8 it said, And the king granted them to me, according to the good hand of my God upon me. So we can see, even though directly it seems like all these things that he was given by the king is from the king. But behind the scene, God was the one that blessed Nehemiah to give him everything that he requested. So that's why for us in our lives, there's no such thing as a coincidence. And there's no such thing as luck. Everything is a providence from God. So that's why for us, the reason we are here for these 2 weeks, because of God. Not because of any circumstances that give us, you know, allow us to come here. But God already arranged these 2 weeks for us to be here. And then we study one another. That for us to be connected, we must have love inside of us. Love is so important. But the word love itself is very cheap. Because everyone we can say, "I love you." But this kind of love is very shallow. But any true love, it must be backed up by our action. Just like Nehemiah. Even though he lived in this great palace, even though he hang out with the kings, but he was worried and concerned about his fellow brethren. But maybe even for us, sometimes we also concern about our fellow brethren, but we do not step forward to ask them what's going on, to see the situation. But Nehemiah, he went out of his way. And he went to his fellow brethren. That's why in chapter 1, verse 2. Then Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah and asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. You can see Nehemiah, his mind is only concerned in two things. His fellow brethren and also Jerusalem. And nowadays for us, what are we concerning about when we kneel down and pray? Do we really concern for our brothers and sisters? Are we concerned for the church? Right now, as I go to different churches, I see many of our brothers and sisters are getting beat up by Satan. And one of the reasons why, because we do not pray enough for one another. And just like Nehemiah here, not only that his fellow brethren was in distress and reproached, but also the wall of Jerusalem also are broken down and its gates are burned with fire. Of all the things that Nehemiah can ask about his brethren, he only asked two things. How are they doing and how the wall of Jerusalem doing? This means his focus of love is in the right places. Just like nowadays, when we kneel down and pray, there's many things for us to pray for. But it's two most important things we should always pray for. That is for our fellow brethren and for the church. And quite often, look at the church. You know, all of you come from different churches. And for sure, maybe the wall of Jerusalem is already broken down. Even the gates are being burned with fire. But are we just standing to complain about it? Or are we going to pray and ask God to rebuild this wall, to rebuild this gate? Let's think about this. Maybe sometimes we are the one that destroying the wall. We are the one that putting fire to the gate, but we don't realize it. But let's be like Nehemiah. But now look around us. So many young brothers and sisters, we can beat up left and right. Why? Because the wall of Jerusalem is being broken down. If the gate is on fire, the enemy can just come in with no protection at all. But the wall is not only for the enemy not to come in, but also for the chosen people not to go out. Nowadays, we don't build our wall high enough. Because of this, we feel it's okay to go outside. It's okay to mingle with the Gentiles and nothing will happen to us. Just reflect on your Facebooks, right? What kind of picture do you put out there? What kind of words do you use? Even some brother used the F word on your Facebook. And how can you say you're a true church member? So, brothers and sisters, look at the wall around us. Look at the wall around our heart. Is it broken down? Is it burned with fire? If this is the case, we must gird up our loins and let's fight together. The only way to do that, we must know what's going on. And for us to know what's going on, we must be filled with the Spirit of God. Just like Ezekiel. When God brought him to the valley, the only reason he can see the valley is full of dry bones because he's in the Spirit of the Lord. And then he can see very clearly. These dry bones are the chosen people of God. So nowadays for us, if we are filled with the Spirit of God, if we look to our brother to the left and look to our sister to the right, we can see maybe they are full of dry bones. And if this is the case, it's not for us to judge them, but for us to pray for them. This is very important. So that's why Nehemiah, he went to find out what's going on with his fellow brethren and what's going on with Jerusalem. I know quite often we always complain about the church, right? The church is this, the church is that. But remember, we are part of the church. This church is our house. So one day when you walk into this church and you see doo-doo on the floor, right? What do? Just return and go out of the church? If we are part of this church, we'll pick it up and clean it. But one thing for sure, make sure we are not the one that making the doo-doo, right? And then allow other people to clean it up. Maybe one day you own your own house, right? You go to a house, just like my dog, right, last week. She had really bad stomach ache because we gave her a lot of human food, right? 4:30 in the morning, I came down. The doo-doo was full on my floor, right? At 4:30 in the morning, what do? I went back up to go to sleep? Of course not. I was on my hands and knees, right, cleaning up the doo-doo. Why? Because it's my house. And I have hardwood floor, right? If the doo-doo and the urine stay there for a while, it's going to ruin the floor, right? So the same thing for us when we look at the church. Don't allow anything to destroy the church. When we see something's wrong, something is unclean, let's clean it up and get rid of it. Because this church belongs to you and I. Always have this kind of mentality. So that's why Nehemiah, when he heard this, what did he do? When he heard that his fellow brethren was in great distress, the word is great, right, distress, and also reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem broken down. Look at verse 4. So it was, when I heard this word, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. This is what we should do. When Nehemiah heard that, he could just go back to the palace, right? And eat his good food and talk to the king. But instead, he afflicted himself. This is love. Love suffers long and is kind. That is the first definition. So that's why, for sure, Nehemiah, he had such great love for the chosen people of God. So that's why he fasted and prayed and he wept for many days. Actually, in this world, we should not weep for too many things, right? Sometimes we cry for many things that doesn't mean anything, right? Maybe we have bad grades in college, we cry, right? Maybe we like someone, that person doesn't like us, we cry, right? But all these things are no reason to cry for. You can see in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, he only cried two times, right?
For what? The two times for what? You remember?
Someone died, right? Who is that person? Lazarus, right? Lazarus, whom he loved, He died so our Lord Jesus Christ cried for him. And then the second one? Brothers, any brothers? Yes, he cried for Jerusalem, right? He said, oh Jerusalem, right? Who killed the prophets. So there's only two times that we can see that he cried. Because these are two meaningful things in his ministry. Just like now, you and I. Yes, we have many things to cry for. But many things is not worth crying for. But there's only two things that's worth crying for. That is for our brothers and sisters. Brother, you ever cried for a brother and sister before? Yes. Thank God, right? Thank God you'll be able to do that, right? You ever cried for the church before? Okay, thank God, right? See, for me, I'm not one to cry too much, right? Because, you know, I want to feel like I'm a man, right? But when it comes to church, you can't help but to cry. Why? Because the connection that you and I have is so deep, right? So that's why sometimes when I see brothers and sisters struggling, I can't help but to cry with them. When I see the church is weak, I can't help but to cry with the church. Why? Because this is my body. This is my life. This is the brotherhood of my God. How can I not cry? So that's why when we come up and pray, yes, we can pray for ourselves. But pray for someone you know that's going through a lot. I'm sure we know someone. And fasting and praying is so powerful. You know, when I think about Boston Prayer House, I always feel very sad. Right? Why? Because I remember Boston Prayer, what it used to be like in the olden days. I remember during a time when I was in TTP and my adopted father was dying in the hospital. And twice, Satan wanted to come to get him. But both times, God saved his soul. And for me, one of the biggest reasons, because a brother and sister prayed for my father. They not only prayed for him, they fasted and prayed for him. And I wasn't even around. And this kind of love that we should have for one another. But quite often we always seem to show so much love to a true seekers, right? Of course, I'm not saying you cannot show love toward them. But if we be able to show love to a true seeker, how much more we should show love to our brothers and sisters. But quite often it seems we kick our brother and sister aside and we, you know, show all the love to true seekers. It doesn't make sense. How can you show great love to strangers more than your own family? Because if the family is strong, if you and I are strong, for sure when true seekers come, we all can love them together. And we all can be able to preach and be able to save their soul together. But if we can't even love one another who's in the same house, how can we can truly love those who are outside the house? There's no way. Yes, we can pretend to love them. So when we think about love, look at Nehemiah. He wept for them. He fasted and prayed for them. So when brother and sister in Boston Prayer House during a time share with me that they fasted and prayed for my father, I was so touched. Because during the time they have no idea who my father was. They heard of him. He came to church maybe one time during that time. But they knew deep down inside my heart, this is what I wanted the most. That's for my adopted father to be saved. Because of this, they fasted and prayed for him. But nowadays, for us, we don't have this kind of love anymore in church. And why, for me, I'm still in True Jesus Church? Because I receive so much love from brothers and sisters. Truly. Even though my journey in TJC have not been easy. But because the love of brothers and sisters. I remember one time when Elder Shea came to taught me in Irvine Church. Of course, Elder Shea is old, right? He's old, right? And there were times, you know, just one-to-one, right? And I remember, you know, one night he invited all his old buddies to go out to eat with him, right? And of course, they're all old, right? So they also invite me to go out with them. And, you know, in the car, they all speak in Japanese, this and that, right? Now I was in the back seat, and all of a sudden, I heard the radio went on, right? And it's like hip-hop music, right, was playing, right? And the old brother in front, sitting in front, turned to me and said, oh, this music is for you, right? Said, you know, you young man, you like this kind of music, right? So he put on for me. Even though during that time, it was a little strange, right? But for me, I realized that is his love, right? Because for me, I'm just sitting in the corner of the back of the car, right? Not saying anything. Didn't understand a word they were saying, right? But he wanted to comfort me by turning on hip-hop music, right? Then when we go to dinner, and we went to a Japanese place, right? And of course, I'm a young guy. Back then, I was young, right? Younger. And I went with them, and of course, I feel so strange, right? Why am I hanging out with these 3-4 old guys, right? And I'm just sitting there, right? But when the food came out, I didn't order. They just ordered whatever, right? And they just ordered for me too, right? When the food came out, almost every single one of them always bring food for me, right? Put food on my plate. Even though they're talking, even they, I don't know how they realized my plate was empty, right?